Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast. It's for the week of April 9th, and with me late on a Saturday night is Jim Allen. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing well, and welcome to Lights Out. Oh, sorry, wrong podcast. I thought this was the late night vampire show.
Well, if it's a vampire show, I'm going to die soon because I only come out when it's light.
Well, no, I was spotted. You know it's not true. I was spotted in the daylight recently, and Isaac Ikuma put my picture up on the internet to prove it.
You would have gotten away with it if it weren't for that meddling kid.
Those were exactly my thoughts. Get out of here, kids. You bother me. And there's a whole subplot to that, but we'll skip that for a day when there's absolutely nothing worth talking about.
Yes, let's do skip that. So, but I'm loving these days. I love the fact that baseball is back. It's just incredible stuff. I love seeing the new guys producing. I love seeing these developing players evolving. I like to see the old guys being reliable or not.
Yeah,
and I love the drama every day and every night. I just love it. I'm glad baseball is back.
That's kind of poetic, and I think let's run with that.
All right. On this week's show, we're going to run with an interview with our. In fact, you know, I'm thinking we should just start putting Dennis Arfante's name somewhere in the artwork on the podcast.
On the credits. On the credits.
Yeah, just put it in the artwork.
Last year, I joked about getting him like a service card, you know, where you'd get something if he did like, you know, 20 interviews. But I think we've given up on that.
Yeah, we'll just have him. Then we'll have him do some interviews with some of his teammates. Just send them in.
He practically fills up enough of our airtime as it is. I mean, it's sort of like we have to enlist his kids. Maybe they're next.
Yeah. So yes.
No. We're equal opportunity abuser. We don't pay nobody for nothing.
That's right. Except for Michael Westbay. We gave him some money a while back, but
is true.
So we've got Dennis Arfante of the SoftBank Hawks on the show again, and we're going to be talking about the first week of action and some notes, including Shohei Ohtani. So let's start swinging.
Clearing the bases.
Okay, well, I was very happy to have a couple of days off this past week, and I went up to Cebu Dome. Excuse me, Cebu. Yes.
Invoice Dome. Ballpark. Wait a minute. Wait, Prince.
The ballpark, formerly known as Prince. Cebu MetLife Dome, to be precise, or MetLife Dome. And the SoftBank Hawks were there playing the Cebu Lions. And I had wanted, I went up there with the purpose of talking about a couple of things with Dennis Arfante. One is contract extension, which we do. And two, some other issues we touched upon when we had some fairly long interviews last autumn. And I wanted to freshen those up and do a new story. But he was really in a hurry to get off the field. His wife is ill in Spain and was getting treatment in Spain. And he was rushing in to call her. So NBC said, okay, let's get this done quickly. So he and I thought something was weird because he didn't even stop to sign autographs at Cebu Dome, which is unusual for him. So I'm thinking, something's going on. And but he did give, you know, he stopped and he answered questions, and that was fine. And I think we'll just hear what he has to say. Some of this will. It was new in a sense to me. It confirmed something I had already heard. And then Jason Cosgrave of the Japan Times told me, wait, I heard this on Ben Lindbergh's podcast in December. Says, well, I appreciate you telling me, so I don't feel like a complete and total fool.
Right.
But, so scooped by Ben Lindbergh again. Oh, well. Okay. So anyway, let's listen to Dennis. Take it away. Okay, our guest today for the umpteenth time, because we stopped, we don't have a tracker anymore, Dennis Arfante. Thank you for joining us.
No worries.
Okay.
My pleasure.
Okay, we're going to have your pleasure here for a long time here. You signed a three-year contract extension.
Yeah, you know, we wanted to get posted. I wanted to go back home this last offseason. Didn't work out that way, and then they came with a three-year offer. We negotiated for about 3 months, and then The day I left, we actually agreed upon it and then finalized it a couple of days ago.
Okay. Well, how does that feel to be back?
Oh, it feels good to be back. Feels good to be playing again. Season to start. That time at home was joyous. I don't feel like no foreigner should ever come here February 1st. I think it's a waste of time. Obviously, your first year to get to know your teammates, but this is my eighth year. I definitely don't need to get to know them. I did just the same amount of work as I could, being done at 11 a.m. in spring training and then going sitting in the hotel. So, I was glad they agreed upon it, which I was probably going to do it whether they said yes or no anyway. So, it was just a good off season, good training, and let my body recover from the wear and tear from last year, and ready to go.
What was the big factor? What were some of the big factors in your decision to stay? Because I know you had your eye on other options.
Yeah, I mean, I love this team. I love the city. We're comfortable. They treat me like royalty in Japan in general, and then in Fukuoka especially. At age 37, could we take a chance and play this whole year out and go to free agency, or do I get hurt? Financial stability, security. So all of that, and being said, we decided to accept it, and it's a lot of money. It's the most foreigners ever gotten per year, per annual salary. So it was an easy decision with the money, but you add in all the other stuff, how much they do for my family and myself while I'm here, and just the city and all, and the fans and my teammates. I told them when I signed it, I said, when I retire, it's not going to just be I'm done and you'll never see me again. I want to be a part of the organization for years and in whatever capacity that is. I don't know.
Well, obviously, last year taught us, or at least you taught us, it's not only about money. It's about other, bigger things.
Yeah, of course. The biggest thing was, is my wife going to be healthier? She's in Spain right now going to some treatments. She's had a really good last 3 weeks. So we're hoping from last year's procedure and this doctor here in Spain that we get some better results and get her here and comfortable and feeling good again. That's going to be the biggest factor. If she's feeling good, then it's going to make my life easier. And I just want her to be healthy. I don't care at what cost, So that was a big, concern. Should we sign if she's not going to be well? But she started feeling good and when we were negotiating, so it made it a little bit easier.
Okay. All right. Well, obviously, you're happy to be here. They're happy to have you, and it doesn't get much better than that.
No, and, I got some records I'm tracing down. I want to get, make Yukai, and hopefully staying healthy this year, I can get it. With our team, we win. I had a chance the other night for another save. We score 8 runs in the 8th inning, so, it's I'm sure I'll have the opportunities if I stay healthy. I'm getting up there in age. My body hurts more this year than previous years, I think, just because of the 60-plus games, 4 years in a row. But, I'm glad to be going again. I feel good. Just the normal wear and tear in baseball.
I'm sure your body's glad you didn't do that 4th inning in the Japan series.
Oh, man, yeah. I think I still feel that 3rd inning in my shoulder now. I don't feel like I have my great fastball yet. I think over the course of this month, by the end of April, I'm sure I'll be in better shape. Better throwing shape. I took it easy this year with throwing and spring training. I didn't go overboard. I actually skipped an outing and only threw in 7. So, I just got to stay healthy. That's the biggest thing. At 37 years old, health is the biggest concern.
Well, you're wearing my age on your shirt, so
yeah,
I never forget it. So anyway, so thank you for joining us. You got things to do, and I'm going to cut it short. But thanks again. Looking forward to a good season.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Mr. Sarfante, and congratulations. Got another save tonight. And John, what's up with you with Dennis's story?
Well, thanks a lot, Dennis. I'll see you soon, hopefully. I don't know. You just make a statement. I mean, I don't know that it really was a question that you started out with. And then he drops 3 bombs, like right at the beginning. He says, number one, you wanted to get posted. I'm like, what? I didn't know that. You didn't tell me that.
Okay. I have to go back to the just to give you context, I was amiss.
Okay.
And in that we had this discussion he hinted at this discussion on Twitter about a month ago.
He did. Okay.
Yes. And so about his he had already told me that this was going to be his last year in Fukuoka, and he was definite about that, and his plan was to go back to the majors in 2019 or maybe earlier if possible, which he had hinted at, but he didn't say anything concrete last year at the MVPs. But after I think I, at some point, then I heard at the I heard at the winter meetings a rumor that he had wanted to be posted, and then one of the Hawks people told me in Arizona that he wanted to be posted. Not that I was actually in Arizona, anyone who happens to be listening, but okay. I heard that. And so anyway, on Twitter, he says, I'm going to be not retiring until 2021. And I'm going, well, if you know that, then that means you're staying with the Hawks. And he went like, I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah, well, that's fine and good. I'm just saying you talked to him for the show at the MVP Awards, you know, banquet and event.
Yeah.
So he could have told us that then, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
That's what I mean. I mean, you know.
Okay, well, that's what I meant. I'm sorry, too much backstory there, but I was trying to sort it out in my head. It's a little mushy at this time of night.
It's all cool. It's all good. And I just wanted to know more about that. And I obviously, okay, he was pressed for time, and you couldn't ask him to tell us more about that. But, you know, in one of his 100 appearances on the show last year, he could have mentioned that. So that's what I was thinking. But, you know, I honestly think it's seriously no surprise that he was thinking or mulling the notion of returning to the States. I actually heard a scout last year talk to me about the fact that Sarfati would be up there with some of the guys they were looking at, since they got so much of a look at him. You know, they got to look at him a lot. Not just because they were there to look at Senga, but because his numbers have warranted that. So,
I mean, that's not a new conversation.
It is not at all, yeah.
Dennis Sarfati has really been on the major league radar for the last 3 years. So.
Yeah, and I mean, with his wife, I know he talked about it on the show that his wife was ill, that she's back taking care of their beautiful children by herself, basically, and he alluded, you know, to that in one of the chats. So I know it's a big deal, and it's a great city in Fukuoka. I obviously, when he didn't get posted and he said he's going to be there, you know, a 3-year deal. He's 37 already. You know, that's just great. And he said he wants to be there, not just as a pitcher, but after he's finished and to work in some capacity. And I totally understand. I really love Fukuoka. I think that's a great one. So that was bomb number one. Then he said he was going to take time before reporting to training camp whether the team said it was okay or not. And I'm like, wait a second, how does that work? And, well, I'm thinking, you know, part of it is seniority, part of it is age, part of it is they know he gets ready and he has his body in shape, is ready to go into the season and all that stuff. The trust factor, I understand the whole concept. But how does that work, whether they say, well, no, we really want you to report for camp? Well, no, I'm not going to report.
We see it every year, but usually not with that level of trust. I mean, I won't say every year, but there's always a player who is sort of like going, it is just way too early. It's way too cold. I'm going to – wait, hold on. There's something I have to do at the last minute before I leave wherever.
Yeah, yes. I forgot my keys.
My passport's missing. Okay. I mean, you can't believe the stories I've heard from people I like and who have, you know, I don't want to name.
No. Don't slide them under the bus just yet.
I'm not. I'm just saying that it's really hard to come back, and people put, I think what happens is some of it is subconscious. They don't think they're getting in the way. They think everything's going to be ready, but they're also not A1 prepared to be ready to get back on time.
Yeah, well, I'm just thinking, how does that work? Is it breach of contract? Does the team start saying, okay, well, we're going to dock you X number of yen for days for each day that you're not here, but we really want you to come here? I mean, I would really like to know how that works, because...
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously they're not going to cut him, but it could cost him some money. So I'm just, you know, wondering how much that was going to... And then the third bomb was, I thought... of course, I say this every year, that February 1st is just too early to get started. So he said no foreigner should ever have to report on February 1st. And I'm like, high five, Dennis.
I knew you'd like that.
I'm like, It's crazy. There's snow all over the ground in parts of the country, and I know not in the areas where they're having camp, but it still doesn't get you into... I mean, you see these guys... I mean, we saw a game... We saw a couple games this past week with games in Sendai with guys dressed up as, you know, Frosty, the snowman with black neck warmers. And it just doesn't look like it.
Yeah, I thought Louis Okoye was wearing one of those like Mike Trout face protectors, and it was the neck warmer, you know, then, the one that covers your face.
Yeah,
the one that guy been wearing balaclavas out there.
Yeah, Carlos Figueroa with the CP indeed. Neck warmer that's up to his eyebrows. I'm like, well, dude,
that's right. I was waiting for ICE to come, or you know, the FBI to come and look at these people here. we got brothers with face masks. This is not going to fly.
Oh no! Yeah, they're scaring some of the children or something like that. Yeah, it's not baseball weather. So yeah, I just love that. We are in lockstep. He and I with that. I think a good arrival day is maybe February 20 something. You know, as long as it's got a 2 in it, I'm fine with anything after that. But February 1st is just way too early. So those were the three bombs he dropped, I think, before you even asked him a real question. I think he kind of made a statement, and then he just, you know, dropped those three. Then he said later on, he said his body hurts more this year than it did last year. And I'm thinking, you talked about the Japan series where you went extra innings.
Three. He threw three. And I said, and he was telling me at the time, well, he told not just me, but he told Jason, and he told all the Japanese media in Fukuoka that I was ready to go back out and throw another one.
Hmm. No, you weren't.
Well, no, he wasn't. He was sore for a long time after that. Yeah. But he's saying also now is... well, he's not panicking, but he hadn't found his best fastball yet. But, you know, it's also he's only pitched in a couple of games. You know, I think he's pitched in 7 games since March 1st.
Yeah.
He didn't pitch any before that. So that's not really a surprise.
Yeah. Well, and I joke saying, no, you weren't. But I obviously he would have gone back out there. If
probably.
He had to.
I think he wanted to, and it might not have been a good idea.
It's probably not a good idea, but I think the competitor in all of us would say, well, you know, I'm going to try. I'm certainly not going to sit down.
Well, sure, if you're going to let me go.
But, you know, that statement that he said, well, you know, I'm not, my body's not exactly where I want it to be, just tells you the state of maybe in part the Hawks. Maybe a lot of the guys are feeling a little run down and maybe not where they want to be, but they're working themselves in the shape even as the season opens here, because you keep in mind you've got people with visions of pennants dancing in their heads already because they've not lost a game since the opener, or you've got guys who are having nightmares of 90 lost seasons that are keeping them awake. And you got to remember, it's just April.
Yeah,
just April, early April. So nothing to get excited or panicking about right now. It's just the start. So, but yeah, I like how he explained that, and you get an idea or the grasp of, you know, hey, I'm not feeling as good as I think I should be feeling, but I'm going out there and we're going to manage this thing, and we're going to manage the season, and we're going to go to the playoffs, and we're going to win again.
Now, the attitude I feel is the one one normally gets from the Hawks. It's just, we're confident. We're going to be here when it all counts. No reason to. I think what it is no reason to expend unnecessary energy worrying about little things.
Exactly.
And so that's what I get. Like, it's no big deal. I mean, you know, of course it's baseball, so little things could become a big deal in an awful hurry. But they also know they've got almost a bottomless resource pool. You know, I got Seiji Uebayashi has just kind of quietly made himself a regular. And
a good regular, yeah.
A good regular, indeed. Well, that's the point. I know they're still sort of looking for a few pieces to their puzzle. And right now, actually, we learned last on Tuesday when I was at MetLife Dome, that the Hawks, in fact, do not have a bottomless talent pool, because they're entire organization of 120 some players is now down to 5 catchers.
Hmm.
And what that means is they can't, if they lose any more, it's going to start impacting the second team games.
Right.
And so right team, now the third team games have already been assigned to be caught by battery coaches.
Oh no!
Bullpen coaches. Bullpen catchers.
Yeah, that's already impacted.
Because they don't have anybody else, you know. But they got to get out there and play these corporate league teams and club teams and university teams and girls softball teams or whoever it is they play.
Right. So yeah. Okay. So yeah, those were the big points for me. Anything for you?
Well, I think the main one was, in fact, the bit about, in addition to the spring training, which I thought was, I'm going, wow, this is, John's going to love this. I could hear your voice, you know, speaking in my ear. I was smiling at him. And he's going, what are you smiling about? And you know what I'm talking about. And that was one thing. And the other thing was something that happened. I guess it was the arm, of course. I was surprised that he said, my arm is not as lively as he had expected. That surprised me a little bit. I didn't expect to see that from 3 innings, but I think it's a lot of things. I wouldn't want to attribute that to any one issue. So moving on now, after I wrote a story about part of this interview and it was posted, and Dennis came to me and he says, I in that story, because he said it was the biggest contract ever awarded to a foreigner in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had to go to the Kyoto News database and get what we had reported as the salary. And I put that in the
story. I love the way you worded that, yes.
And I said it was estimated in the story. And he went like, I can't tell you the number, but no, that's not it. And I'm going, well, you know, I said to him, it's the Hawks. You know, this is what they do.
Right.
And there's the famous story about Takahiro Mahara, who was...
former reliever.
When Oryx wanted to acquire him as compensation for their free agent signing, for the Hawks signing with their free agents, they went, oh, Mahara's worth what? It says here in the fan handbook, it says, $1 million? And they went like, no. The teams don't know unless they're doing a trade. And this is so that when they exchanged the numbers, it was like 3 times that. The guy was not even playing, is worth $3 million a year.
Yeah.
But and why they took him, I'm not 100% certain. Pride, maybe. I don't know.
Right. So, yeah. I think we reported on this maybe 2.5 years ago, it was?
Yes.
That we said no one really knows the actual salaries that the players take home, except the teams, the players, and their representatives.
That is correct. So, you know, when the player says, I'm not allowed to tell you what my real salary is, I think, welcome to Japan.
Thank you very much. So the Hawks won today. They won 4-3. They pinned the second loss on Yuki Matsui of the Eagles. With a rally in the 9th inning and won that game by a run after taking a 3-0 lead and then having it erased by a 3-run home run by Toshiaki Imae. But then they scrambled up a run in the 9th, and then Dennis came on and got the save. So that snapped a 3-game skid for them today. And they're off to a sluggish start. And like I said earlier, I'm not so worried. I remember they had a sluggish start last year and another year before that. I don't know if it was 2 years ago or 3, but only thing I know of is Senga being deactivated, and he's got a problem with his pitching arm, and we'll see what the deal is with that. And they're not sharp, but I think it's hard to pick up from, you know, where you were at the moment the season ended last year to pick up at that point when everybody's out to get you. you know, you're not as up for the games, I think, as they are, as opponents are. And, you know, you're just getting the season going. I think they're, you know, they're yawning and stretching like a big bear coming out of hibernation and looking around for berries or something to eat just to get the, you know, the juices flowing and the stomach warmed up. But they're not going to go out hunting big kill right now and looking, you know, for big game and big meaty sources of energy. They just want to snack a little bit.
If any of you listeners tuned in and thought you were listening to Animal Kingdom, just relax. This is, in fact, the Japan Baseball Weekly podcast.
Well, we are talking about hawks and lions and tigers. And
we are.
And animals of prey, baby.
Okay.
Not cute little Bay Stars or little puff dragons and all that stuff.
Okay, just telling you.
Swallows or anything like that. So I'm not worried about the start. Obviously, and I know you don't get to see a lot of the games, but I know I also know that you do the stats and stuff every day. Have you seen anything with the Hawks that early on here?
No, I haven't noticed anything particularly. I guess just part of this little rash of guys, I guess players we expected to be really good because it's our to match our images of them being very good and not being very good. And Kodai Senga being one of those. And that was, I think, my principal image of the Hawks so far this season. Otherwise, no. Not sharp is probably the nicest way to put it. But I think the other thing I think that they kind of lost, although obviously, you know, Keizo Kawashima and Yuichi Honda are hustling to fill that spot at number two. And Kenta Imamiya is a terrific player. And Yuki Inagita is having a terrific start to the season. But I think Munenori Kawasaki's retirement or not retirement, his autonomic nervous disorder kind of might have messed with people because he was such a popular player.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very much a sudden thing that he was basically gonna be back, but he didn't train. And I think the players knew that. I think everybody on the team knew he wasn't coming back, but just the announcement was kind of a sad thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's anything to that, but I'm clutching for straws and you know, cut me some slack.
Well, I just, you know, I'm watching them and I just don't think they're getting the starting pitching that they expect to get. But I just think it's just a slow start. Like I said, I've seen it before. These guys are getting outscored. I mean, they're 3-4 as we speak now, so before Sunday's game. And they just are struggling to put together runs. They're hitting the ball, and they're making good contact, it seems. But they're giving up 4.5 runs a game, and that's not a good formula for winning. But like I said,
they have been kind of feisty. I've when I watched the games, you know, I've seen them play hard, so that's not any kind of a problem. But that's the thing with the Hawks, you don't play hard, you know, you find yourself off the first team, you know, before you find where your helmet goes.
Yeah, before you can take a seat on the bench. Oh no, you don't need to sit there, son.
That's right. We got that reserved.
That's a bus ticket for you, not even a train. So I understand that. So all right, well, making a smooth, seamless transition. Let's talk about a rare day that happened this past Wednesday. I'm calling it Wednesday Import Day, and that was the day that four foreign pitchers won their first games in Japan. It was actually like foreign pitcher day. We had a bunch of guys starting. I'll go through the list. But basically, it was the first time in MPB history that four import pitchers got their first wins, and three of the pitchers were making their debuts. And that's only the second time that three import pitchers in Japan made their debuts and got victories. So that was awesome. We saw the Hawks, Rick Vanden Hurk pitch against Fabio Castillo of the Lions. And Castillo held the reigning champion Hawks to 4 hits and 2 walks over 6 2/3 innings. And he got the 2-1 win. And then Andrew Albers of the Buffaloes, he's a lefty that they picked up this year. And he went 6 innings and gave up 3 hits, 3 walks, had 8 strikeouts and a 7-1 win over the hot-hitting Lotte Marines. So that was kind of impressive. And then David Huff of the Swallows was throwing a no-no for 5 innings at Jingu when the friendly confines there conspired with the Carp. But he got out of he got out of the 6th inning, I think. He ended up allowing 3 home runs and 5 runs. He got no decision, so he didn't end up with a win that night, but he was one of the foreigners who was starting that night. And then Onelki Garcia of the Dragons, he tossed 5 no-hit innings, finished with a 6-inning effort, 2 hits allowed, 5 walks, but he struck out 7 and he only allowed 1 run. And so he actually exhibited some really great speed because he hit this tapper to third base to Casey McGee, and he beat it out. And I thought he had beaten it out, and the umpire originally called him out and they had a review. but it was very impressive speed. And I tweeted to Jason Koskry. I said, the umpire decided it was just like the rest of us that a man of his size, and I didn't look up his size, but he's a big guy, Garcia is, couldn't possibly beat out a simple tap at a third base. That wasn't that far, but he did. And, so I thought immediately he bats left-handed. He throws left. I thought of the Cuban. He's also a Cuban. I thought of the Cuban the Dragons had, Raul Valdez, until this past offseason. A guy, because I like Garcia's swing. I'm sure you probably didn't see him swing the bat, but if he gets a fastball, middle in or middle, somebody misplaces one, I think he's going to have a couple home runs this year. This guy's got a swing. Anyway, he was one of the four to get a win. And then also the Fighters' Michael Tompkin came on in relief and allowed 2 hits, a walk, but no runs, and got his first victory in a 5-2 win over Rockton. So it was an Import Wednesday. It was all these guys throwing and 4 guys coming away with victories. It was really fun.
That's what we could call Pier 39 or something.
Well, that's just some place in San Francisco. Why are we peering?
Oh, no, because there used to, or maybe it was Pier 1 Imports when I was growing up. There used to be a chain. Pier 39 is sort of is that shopping mallish kind of abscess.
The tourist site. San Francisco
site. Waterfront. I take that back. I'm thinking of Pier 1 Imports, which was a kind of shabby imported goods chain when I was growing up.
They're probably still out there, so don't speak ill of them.
Okay. I'm sure they're high quality merchandise ever since they were when I was a youngster.
There you go. Change that tune right away. But yeah, it was a fun night. It was a really fun night in that respect. And I noticed it. I noticed these guys, and then I saw a story run across. I think it was Nikon Sports or somewhere. But anyway, that was the first time in history that four foreigners had won games on one night like that. So, and I, you know, like I said, these guys tend to get stuck in a certain day in a rotation. So I think a lot of them will pitch on the same day again soon. I think so. They'll have another opportunity to do that. So it should be fun to watch that. So, but let's go ahead and talk about the Pacific League. I'm very impressed with Tadahito Iguchi of the Lotte Marines. And I said I wanted to keep an eye on him. And I said that, and then I said all kinds of mean things about the Marines in the PL prediction show. But I'm going to stick to it because I don't know
because
that.
Because you're mean?
No, because I'm sticking to my prediction is what I mean.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Because
I'm not sticking
sure
to your evil
sustainable
character.
Yeah, the evil. I won't say mean things about people for no reason. I don't know that it's sustainable for them to hit like this, but it's good. I think he brings energy. I think because he was playing with some of these guys up until last season, he knows them. He knows how they prepare. Mm-hmm. He probably knows how they should prepare if they weren't preparing the right way, and he didn't say anything as a player, but he can now as a manager. And he's playing some young guys. He's got rookies like Yudai Fujioka and Tsuyoshi Sugano out there, and they're producing. And he has played Taira Hirasawa here and there, and he's a third-year guy. So, yeah, I like that he's using those guys, even mixing in the Kazuya Fukuda hit parade.
Yeah, it is a parade.
And
who doesn't love a parade?
Who doesn't love it? Well, he has to play him. He has to play. Actually, who doesn't do
it? It is. But you know, it's a parade because they set up barricades, along the side, so you can get in. You won't hurt anybody.
Yeah, I remember this past week tweeting with Steve, the blogger with the Marines, and Love I Marines. Said I have a meter, and he says, "Well, does your meter count on your meters?" And I'm like, "Well, that would just be redundant. It's already a meter."
Some punishment deserves to be meted out for that.
Probably.
Okay.
On both sides. I don't know. Takashi Ogino is hitting well. Shogo Nakamura is hitting.
Yeah.
Seiya Inoue seems like he's locked in and going to produce, and he doesn't have to hit 300 or anything. He just has to come up with some big hits, and he is. And I think all that right now is good, but I think we're going to see some changes. I don't know how long it's going to last. I think we haven't seen them play every team. I just want to see more.
Okay. Well, also remember they're without their best hitter, who is Katsuya Kakunaka.
Yeah, the broken bone in his back early on that he suffered in preseason. Yeah.
Yeah, so we don't know when he's going to be back. Riff.
Yeah.
That's really a tough one because I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but after the PL prediction show, I had to do my own predictions for Kyoto News, and I'm not predictions.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait. Time out. So the ones you did for the show are like the fake ones, and then you had to go back and actually do research and do your real ones. Is that what you're saying? You're not saying that. Is that what you're saying? You're not saying that.
No, I don't want to say that because I don't want to disillusion you. I don't want to disillusion you about how the world really works.
Well, you know what? Just for that, you're not fired. You got to keep doing the show.
No, that's not what I meant. It's just that I had time to reflect having done the show.
Yeah.
And one.
I'm still hearing.
No. That's because you are not listening. I mean, try that on for a change. Okay. No, what I mean.
This is not about me.
Okay. You heard that, listeners. Today it's not about John. Put the red mark on your calendar. So, no, what I mean is that I had an inspiration that escaped me until then, or an idea that escaped me. And we were, you and I were texting about it, how much the 2018 Marines reminded me of the last team that Tsutomu Ito left behind. 2008 Cebu Lions,
yes,
and they're similar in the sense that they both had very good offenses. They both were very good teams 2 years before that, and then they had a meltdown. I don't think Ito really had a meltdown this last year, but weird stuff was going on. The bit about players practicing late into the night and practicing early in the morning, and I'm thinking, this is probably not going to help them because they played much worse than they should have.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And that they're a far better team than they looked, and that, with a new manager who's much more laid back, with a different approach to the game, could, bring them back to where they were before, which was a pretty good team.
Yeah.
And the Marines are, with the exception of the meter maid, are a fairly young team. Kakunaka is not young, but now he's hurt, so it don't matter. But I was thinking, Kakunaka was 2 years ago on a par in terms of value with Shohei Ohtani and Yuki Inagita. So, and there are good players. Daichi Suzuki is a tremendous player.
Oh, yeah. He's an all-star.
Yeah, and Tatsuya Tamura, the catcher, is a tremendous player. So I think they had the parts, and I like a lot of the pitchers. And so many of their pitchers had terrible years last year, almost that they couldn't help but be better.
I agree.
I was thinking, you know, this team could actually be a, you know, like a second place team after, you know, pretty much taking part in the, you know, what's the word, tarring and feathering them in the Pacific League prediction show.
Well, we weren't the only ones. I think everybody basically had thrown them into the trash. So.
We did. And I'm ashamed. Because, not for you guys, because I didn't think of it either at the time, but that thought occurred to me like 1 week later, and I'm going, it was like looking at a picture of your, you know, like an uncle, and realizing they look exactly like you.
And you'd always thought the guy was ugly.
I'm sure that was a joke, and I'm sure some of you listeners will get it out of sympathy to John Gibson. But the point being that you recognize a resemblance that hadn't occurred to you.
Well, we basically called them ugly, and now we're realizing that they look like us. So I'm just okay.
Okay. So your joke was deeper than normal. So I wasn't going there.
Oh, no. Hashtag.
Okay.
But I really think, and it's the same thing in both leagues. I think the difference between winning and losing, there's a fine line. You know, sometimes it's a couple inches on a bases loaded drive down one of the lines that lands fair or foul, and then you end up losing. You don't score runs on that opportunity, and then you end up losing 8-3, and it looks bad, but it's not really that bad. So, and I like Iguchi, getting back to him. I think he's got his guys pushing for the next base. I think the preparation, when I talked to him before, when he came back from the States and he talked about preparation, I think he's getting those guys on a maybe Bobby Valentine level of preparation again, like they studied every possible. And not just going through lots of data and stats and all that stuff, but getting ready for what how pitchers are going to attack them and knowing what's coming or figuring out what's coming and making adjustments and those things. And you know, I noticed that they were one of two teams to bring their opening day starter back a day early. I think Hideaki Wakui pitched on Thursday as opposed to Friday. So they didn't go deep into the rotation that first time around. Of course, they gave him, I think looks like they're going to have an extra day because they sent, what's his name, Chen Kuan Yu out there this weekend to throw. So I just like the impact that he's having already, but I'm not convinced that all those guys are going to hit like this for the whole year. But, you know, somebody might come up and take turns, you know. They're not relying on one guy, so they might have a situation where they have enough depth that everybody produces well enough and they contend. But I'm not sold yet. But
Well, Iguchi is of course a different model from Hisanobu Watanabe. Watanabe was the Lions manager in 2008. He was a classic. He was the classic. Let's bring up the winning farm team manager model that I like so much. But that doesn't mean it can't work. And like you said, he does know the guys. He does know the system. He does know the players. He knows he has certainly an eye for what they can do. And the other thing is, I think a lot of it, I think you're talking about the preparation, is I'm really curious to hear his philosophy, because Ito, in a normal world, and when everything's going normally, Ito is very level-headed and very positive. But I have the feeling that when things get bad, it gets negative. And I have to think the Marines were all negative last year. And it's hard to succeed when everybody's telling you, don't fail.
Yeah, that's right. You know what? A long time ago, I learned, you know, again, most of you remember I played basketball. I never went up to one of my teammates and said, relax. Because that made them realize that they were nervous. You know, so.
Wow.
I mean, so you don't say you don't fail. You say prepare and do your best. And so, even if I saw a guy was nervous, I said, hey, you got this or whatever. I didn't want to make him think that they were nervous, you know, or that we knew that they were nervous. That doesn't help.
And it's also, you know, and I think the fact that, you know, Iguchi in his career, you know, it helps I don't know what kind of a communicator he is. We've spoken very not as much as you have, but yeah, I do like what I've seen so far in terms of the team. You know, the team playing well. I mean, you know, as you know, we talked about this. You know, what's before the show to some degree about what's important at this time. And I think the most important thing is the players are giving an effort and, you know, executing, you know, parts of the game to where, you know, they're in it. It's hard to tell what they're executing all the time because I'm no scout, but yeah. when you see the guys playing hard and playing together, that's really to me a huge sign. And when you see the Hawks play, you just assume they're going to do it. I mean, if some guy stands out and says, "Hey, I'm not doing it this way," they stand out like a sore thumb.
Definitely.
So when you see Discord, well, to be fair, you don't see Discord on Japanese teams. You have it, but you rarely see it.
Exactly.
Right. But, you know, when you see guys playing well together and playing and hustling, and this is, I guess, the word I'm getting for, you know, grinding,
mm-hmm.
playing with a purpose, playing calculated baseball in a sense, you know, doing things that make sense, trying to put their opponents off their games. And even if they're not winning games, when you see this, you think, wow, this, you know, I had that feeling once about a really terrible team that started the season in 2006. And I thought, wow, these guys are playing hard. And that was the Nippon Ham Fighters. And they couldn't win to save their lives, but you know, they won the pennant.
Right. Basically, eventually
they scratched and grinded. Yeah. So that's what I look for. And I see the Marines playing hard.
Yeah.
In fact, I see also the Eagles playing hard too, for that matter.
Yeah, I think what you're preaching is process over results. I mean, keep doing the right thing, and eventually it's going to pay off. And that might pay off for the Eagles. They are playing hard too, and they're off to a sluggish start as well. But it was amazing. I was thinking this weekend series between the Hawks and the Eagles, two clubs that desperately need to get some wins, and so they're going to get them. One team is. I didn't think either one was going to sweep. So they've split the first two. So, you'll already know by the time the show is posted who's won. So that's good. But at least, yeah, there's no sweeps there. And the Eagles have had their struggles early on and just not able to score runs. Something similar to the Oryx Buffaloes. And I keep hashtagging Walking Dead whenever I refer to the Buffaloes on Twitter. And they're starting out by proving me right. But I think, you know, they look better than I've seen before. And like you're saying, the process over the results, and they're doing things right. Although I'm not impressed with the manager.
Junichi Fukuda?
Yeah, Junichi Fukuda. I'm not a fan. And so I see them doing things and I keep shaking my head, and then they end up, you know, stuck in a close game and end up losing it somehow. But that's what they do. The Fighters, the Fighters though, have won. They lost their first three games. The Lions swept them to open the season, and then they haven't lost since.
Right. And, so the only time they've lost is to somebody who hasn't lost this year.
Right. And so the Lions undefeated after seven games. We'll see how long this goes. This is the first time in 27 years that they have started the season at least 7-0. And the last time they did that was a championship year. They won the Japan Series, so that bodes well for them at the moment. But you said it. You said it in the preseason prediction show that you thought the offense was really going to be good. And my concern was the pitching. And you know, they've got Castillo, who won and pitched well the other day. I thought Wolfie did well in his start, and he's Shin Saburo. Tawata won the game on Saturday today, and he said, I'm turning it over to Wolfie tomorrow, and hopefully he can do the job. So everybody's, you know, they're getting into that situation where they've got a streak going, and nobody wants to be the starting pitcher who ends up taking that loss. But so,
well,
that's good.
Yeah, I think the key thing is, one, they're playing good. They're not relying overly on Ernesto Mejia.
Yeah, they're batting him.
Offense.
Yeah,
he's batting towards the bottom of the lineup.
Yep.
They're letting, they're basically splitting the catching duties between Ginjiro Sumitani and Tomoyo Mori.
And Mori, who's and catching well. Who is catching well.
Exactly.
One of the guys on TV say, you know, more than he won this, he helped him win a game the other night with his bat, but more so than that, he caught the game, called a really good game, and that was the most impressive thing, more so than the bat. We know he can hit.
We know he can hit. He is the hitting catcher in Japan now. And this is a guy who 2 years, you know, 3 years ago, people were saying, no, 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 don't catch. Don't catch. Will you leave us for, you know, listen to us. Damn it. Don't catch. You're not a catcher anymore.
Yeah.
And here he is. He had this little experiment, and then we all laughed and said, how cute, how cute. Give him a lollipop. He thinks he's a catcher. Okay. So he's gone back to catching full time. And now the Lions have Mori, who's a heck of a hitter. And first base, they've got Hotaka Yamakawa, who, even though he only played a half a season last year as the Lions' first baseman, was, in my estimation, the most valuable first baseman in the Pacific League last year. Just a tremendous young hitter. And Tsuchita Tonosaki is a gamer.
Yeah.
He was a huge difference in Friday night's win over Oryx.
Yeah, this is the guy 3-4 years ago. They were trying to throw him out there and say, take the shortstop position. Take it, take it, take it. And he just couldn't.
Yeah. So he's a right fielder now. He can play defense. He's a gutsy guy. He's a quality hitter. He flies on the bases. Then they've got Akiyama in center, who's also a gamer. Asamura is a really solid hitter. I mean, and Nakamura is playing well. And then they've got the rookie of the year, Sosuke Genda. And you're thinking, this team, where are the holes?
Yeah, they've got the profile.
I'm thinking, wow.
I'm still not convinced about the pitching.
Well, again, this is the Carp. This is last year's model for the Carp and Cebu Lions, which is score a zillion runs and just throw strikes. Primarily throw strikes. Don't try to pitch around, you know, pitch aggressively, work in the zone. Don't try to lure guys too far out of the zone. Don't walk yourself. Don't get too cute. Make them put the ball in play. If you can't get them out, you know, make them put the ball in play where you have a chance to catch it, because you're going to be winning by five runs anyway. So if you give up one, it's going to be okay.
Right. All right. It's transitioning to the Central League, making a one-seam transition in honor of Tomoyuki Sugano. And
there's a couple guys.
I first want to touch on and talk about, and then we can get into them more. The one thing I've noticed with Norichika Aoki and Koji Uehara, Norichika of the Swallows and Koji of the Giants, is that they're back with their original teams this year, and they just look like they're having so much fun.
Oh.
They are just so energized being back in MPB. You see Aoki get a hit. He's got both arms up, you know, like the high school players do at Koshien. He has to join the whole thing. You see Uehara coming off the mound when he gets his third out of the inning that he throws, and he's monster high-fiving guys, breaking arms in the dugout. I mean, they're just having really a whole lot of fun, and you can tell. I don't know how they're going to finish or how their teams are going to do, but they're just energizing the whole situation. That's why, you know, in the opening I talked about some of the veteran guys who are coming back and they're reliable. These are two of the guys. So I just really like what they're doing for their teams. And you know, I didn't need the homemade drama with Uehara talking about maybe, you know, what I wonder what, you know, he wants to come back. He loves baseball. What team's he going to essentially say? What team am I going to play for? I didn't like that stuff, but I certainly like what he's doing on the field. He looks like he's really going to help. I said when Uehara resigned with the Giants, I thought that could be a really good three-headed monster in the bullpen that could help to, like, shorten games, but the other night, they had a game where they used the four-headed monster, and I thought that's even more impressive. They had Sawamura, Matheson, Uehara, and Caminero finish out the game against the Dragons. So they can do that at the back end of their bullpen, at the back end of the rotation, where they're not seemingly getting very good pitching in a lot of players
in the front of the rotation either. So, you know, I mean, you got to rethink that plan.
But if they can get a lead, yeah, they might be able to use those guys to protect leads if they have them late in games. So, yeah, that's a possibility. So I'm looking at, obviously, we're looking at the standings and not the standings. I'm looking at.
We don't look at the standings. We don't look at the standings. Okay.
Well, the button, okay. The tab says standings. So when you hit it, you know, it comes out of your mouth.
You're excused. Move on.
The Carp, fantastic start. They lost just their second game today. The Bay Stars desperately need some wins. So you need to start racking up some. I just don't think the engine has started. But the Carp look good. The Yakult Swallows is a big surprise for me. But again, I think it's still, there's a fine line between winning and losing in some of these games. And I thought the Swallows had some opportunities last year in some games. They just didn't do well in in winning them, but they were there. But they're winning a lot of games early here now.
Yeah,
but
well, they do.
They're only 5-3.
They do have a lot. I'll grant you this. They do have a lot of energy. They have a lot of positive things going on, despite the constant, I don't know what, Yakultness of that organization, where you know, Shingo Kawabata comes back from surgery for the first time in a year, and he gets hurt like in the fourth game.
Yeah,
well, after he has a tremendous debut, and I'm going, oh man! And then you know what, Nishiura comes in and says, like, get that old guy out of my spot. This is my spot. I earned it. So, but you know, having said that, they do have a lot of young energy on the team, which I do like, and they've been through some weird stuff already. You know, the little bit of like Tomotaka Sakaguchi at first base reminded me of the. Haruki Ihara, the manager, Haruki Ihara's Lions, where he had Shogo Kimura and Naoto Watanabe. He was using the fastest, best glove guys on the whole team to play first base, and who had the weakest bats.
And weren't first baseman.
Plan. Yeah, basically outfielders and shortstops and things who couldn't hit, but who could field and put them at first base. Okay,
right.
So that was his plan.
The big concern I have with the Swallows is that they've got three guys in the front of the rotation, maybe, and then they've got question marks at the back of the rotation.
And, all right.
I don't see them sustaining. They're gonna
Where's Masanori Ishikawa in that rotation?
Well, apparently he's number two.
Okay. Well, we saw, okay. Okay. So that's a pretty solid top three.
It's a pretty solid question mark at number two.
Indeed. So, yeah. So I think when I was trying not to laugh when you said the Swallows had like a fine line. There's not a lot of fine lines around the Swallows. It's kind of like broad strokes, you know, like today's game was a perfect example of the Swallows season. You know, they beat up on somebody and somebody beat up on them. Oh, but they won. You know, they won 15-6, I think.
15-8.
It's 15-8, you know, but it was a game that it was just ugly from start to finish until the Swallows bullpen came in and they were going like, oh, okay, we've got a game. But the point being, they played a lot of weird games. It wasn't like, oh, they were, you know, they were fighting and they were in it and they were really a quality team that deserved to win a lot more games. No, it was more like the pieces didn't work really well and all the players were hurt. And when guys did try hard, but they just didn't have, you know, didn't have the little engines that could.
Right, right.
But I like the Aoki thing. Now, I haven't had a chance to watch much of the Swallows. So if Aoki's there having fun, that's got to be a huge thing because these guys could... I mean, my experience with the Japanese guys coming back from the majors is pretty much, for the most part, I can name a few exceptions, but I'm not going to be mean or nasty, is most of the guys are like going, let me show you what I learned. And one of them is we can have fun when we're doing this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's having fun. I think that spread, you know, Coco Ballantyne loves winning and he loves, you know, I see him clapping, pointing at his teammates when they do something really well. It's just a different vibe around it, and it has nothing to do with the manager and nothing to do with Shinya Miyamoto, the manager in waiting. It's the players. They there's something different. So that's good. It's the sun is shining on the team right now, and that's good. But I
that's especially remarkable since it's 1:30 in the morning.
Well, 1:30 in the morning.
I'm sorry, guys. I have to get out of my mode and remember it's always Monday morning on the podcast.
Right. I still think there are, ambulances lining up to,
Indeed, they are. They're competing for curb space.
Curb space to wait and see what happens. Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the Bay Stars now. As I said, they were hungry for wins, but let's keep in mind that some of their guys are not around still yet. Shota Imanaga isn't out there. Haruhito Hamaguchi isn't out there. And instead, they've got two rookies in the rotation. And those guys pitched well. Mm-hmm. Both the young guys. Katsuki Azuma, on Thursday, he lost 2-0 to Hanshin, but he went 7 innings, 6 hits, a walk, 9 Ks, and 1 earned run allowed. That's a very strong start. And most of the guys they have out there are left-handed guys who all throw the same kind of stuff. We've seen Kenta Ishida struggle in his two starts, and he was the opening day starter. And he throws like Imanaga. And anyway, they need more right-handed pitchers to pitch well. And they put Shoichi Ino, whom I'm not high on at all, but they put him in the bullpen. Maybe he can be productive there. So they had a really nice win today against the Carp, except for the fact that Spencer Patton blew up in one inning and he walked four guys.
That was weird.
And yeah, it was kind of wild. Anyway, they got through it, so that's good for them. And the Giants, they're struggling. I didn't think they'd be their two top guys. Tomoyuki Sugano hasn't won a game and hasn't really looked that good. He's looked good in the first halves of games. Mm-hmm. And then right at the midpoint, he just doesn't look good anymore. And Taguchi pitched today. He's the one who started all that trouble, the 15-run trouble that they had at Jingu. And
yeah, he started it, but he didn't finish it. Well, if they picked up after he was gone, then everything would have been fine. But
yeah, so that doesn't.
And I'm going to choose to take the high road here, and just leave it at that.
And just leave it at that. Yeah, they didn't look good. So I mean,
okay.
They've got things to work on. Of course, I didn't have high hopes for them, but the way the Dragons look, it looks like the Giants will finish ahead of them for sure. The Dragons, just explaining, I was watching that game on Friday that the Dragons won. They beat the Tigers at Kyocera Dome 3-2. Mm-hmm. The Dragons scored a run because Shintaro Fujinami walked a bunch of guys, and then they got a guy. They worked a guy over to third base somehow and got him home. And then later on, they scored their only run that they actually got hits. All three came by way of hit, I believe. And then they threw two runners out at the plate, and essentially two runners trying to score from third. One in the ninth inning to end the game on a squeeze that I think manager Tomoaki Kanemoto of the Tigers might never try again because of the way it ended. And that's the way the Dragons have to win a game. They can barely score runs. They got to keep the game close, and then they get a bunch of breaks and they win a game. And that just doesn't bode well. So I think the Giants are going to finish ahead of them. Although Young Daikong is going to be out for the Giants for a while because he took a pitch off his hand and broke a bone. And someone I heard they said it's not a matter of weeks; it's going to be a matter of months, probably maybe two. And that's not good for him. He missed a bunch of time injured last time. He hasn't really played a lot since he joined the Giants. He's been more off the field, it seems, than on the field, but we wish him luck, and hopefully he can do that. And one of the other notes that I had about the Dragons was the Daisuke Matsuzaka making his first appearance as a starter in NPB since September 26, 2006 at Seibu Dome, which was then called Invoice something or other.
Oh my gosh.
And
that was before it was Prince even.
Yeah, and they lost the game 3-2, and he didn't look good at all, in my opinion. I don't think he threw quality pitches constantly, but here's what I don't know if I tweeted it or not, but I thought in my head, his pitches didn't look good, but his pitching was good. And I say that because he was throwing floaters and, you know, maybe some two-seamers that kind of had some movement and everything, but basically he was trying to get guys out when he looked like a pitcher who didn't have anything to get guys out, who was battling. And so he pitched really well in that he did try, he did locate most of those pitches where he wanted to.
He did quite a lot. So what you're saying is that he skillfully did a lot with very little.
I'm saying he was a crafty right-hander. I always say, why don't the right-handers get the label crafty? Because why does that just solely belong to left-handers?
Well, partly it has to do with the lefties have a union.
I see. But, you know, Matsuzaka's, he's pitching on last man in the rotation day, which is the day before, you know, the Aces are supposed to go out again. And he pitched okay. I think he earned another chance to pitch again. But I didn't see anything.
So.
Yeah, I didn't see anything. I mean, he was facing the Giants.
Except it won't be for another 10 days. I think he was deactivated.
Yeah. That's probably for the best. But that team seems like it's going to struggle. All right, some notes. Shohei Ohtani, we have let him go to the major leagues, but we just have to acknowledge the three home runs in as many games at Anaheim Stadium. Is that what they're calling that place?
Angel Stadium of Anaheim.
Oh, gosh, whatever they want to call it. It's the big A to me, doggone it. We talked about him possibly getting a win in the debut that he had that we taped just before he went on the mound, hours before he was going on the mound almost. He won that game and against the A's, and then he blasts a home run in his first at bat. I think it was his first swing, someone said. I think one of the announcers said first swing at that stadium, at his home stadium with the Angels. So that was nice.
Then I believe it was. Well, his first hit in the majors was a first swing. It might have been a first swing. He hit it just over the right field wall.
Yeah. So quality start on Monday, then three home runs in as many games later in the week at home. So, you know, sample sizes aside, I'm glad he's got those two things out of the way. He's got a win and he's got the home runs multiple. And people are going to make the comparisons with Babe Ruth and going to start talking about all that stuff. Just you know, stop, please. Yeah, just let him get a few wins and a few home runs and help the team win. And I think the biggest thing was that home run that he hit today because they were down 6-0. He hits a home run today, and that really got them started, and they rallied back and ended up winning that game. So
it's just fun to watch. And the energy is quite fun, and it's so much better than, you know, I'm very impressed, and I think everybody else is with how quickly he's making these adjustments. And because he does have, you know, he's got all these issues with his swing. You know, he's a big guy and he likes to extend his arms and he doesn't bring his front elbow in. And, you know, he's got a little bit of head movement, a little hip travel. He's got all these physical issues, but he's also 23 and he's also extremely clever.
And he's very athletic. Yes.
And he's there basically to learn. He's absorbing all this stuff and people are going. And he said something interesting today. He said, somebody asked him what was the secret of his good form right now. He said, well, I'm taking a lot of advice from different people. And basically when I get some advice that's, you know, I want to try, I'll really, really, really try it. I'll really try to apply myself to it and then see how it works. And then in that way, I get these little nuggets.
Right.
And I add them. And I get them in and I take them in and I learn from them. So he's just sort of, you know, he's testing out the waters and learning from the coaches and learning from his teammates. And he's up there adjusting. And you know, there were issues about pitch recognition and he's learning to recognize them. And he's still obviously watching Friday's game in the States. I saw some pitches that he was not recognizing very well.
Yeah, I think his last at bat when he swung at three.
But the funny thing is the one at bat I didn't see was one of the most impressive ones.
In the game. Well, it was Saturday in Japan. Game.
And yes, and that was I was busy doing something else, so I did so I missed his ground out to first, and I went ground out to first, and I didn't see the ball. It almost took the guy's glove off.
It was a rocket, yeah.
It had an exit velocity of like 110 miles an hour.
Yeah, it was self defense. Yeah, at first base.
I mean, yeah, that they should put the barriers up and say don't cross this line.
Yeah,
don't try this at home.
Yeah, some because of the things.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. He is.
Oh, he's just, MLB StatCast is going nuts because he's like he hits the ball harder than virtually anybody in MLB, and he throws the ball harder than virtually anybody in MLB, and he runs faster than virtually anybody in MLB. So they're kind of like going, what do we do with this guy?
Yeah, I heard that.
Send him back to the minors.
Listening to the Angels broadcast in that first game that he played at home, and there was a flyout. He was on first base, and there was a flyout to shallow center or left field or something like that early in the game.
Right.
And both of the announcers said they weren't watching the person who was going to catch the ball. They were just locked on Ohtani and his strides going around the bases and how much ground he ate up with each stride and how fast he was. They couldn't believe it. So yeah, he's got a lot of athleticism, but. There's some things that I noticed right away. Remember, early on in the preseason, they had this big pad on his right hand to protect from him getting hit by wayward pitches. And I think they've refined that and it's smaller now. And also that I tweeted this out that remember he had that right leg, that front leg he always was lifting up. And and he's got that on the ground now. And he's taking that out.
Toe tap now.
Right. Yeah. So they're making adjustments. I think it's still a work in progress. Like I said, it's just going to take time. So let's not get too excited or let's not get too down on it. But it's fun to watch.
I'm not excited at all. I think,
the way you're tweeting, it seems you are.
I'm putting you on, man.
Okay.
I'm thrilled for him. I'm thrilled for him.
Yeah, it's fun. It's, I tweeted today, it's turning into must watch TV. And it would be better if the Angels were winning. And
they're 4-1 in games when Ohtani plays.
He's having the impact he did when he won the MVP in 2016. I hear there's some bad information running around out there. Everybody keeps saying that he won the MVP in the Pacific League last year, and it was 2016, folks, not 17. Mm. So
I did remind people on Twitter. I was trying to remember who that person was who said Ohtani was a Hall of Fame hitter after his rookie year when he hit 235, but his name escapes me. I didn't say he was a Hall of Fame hitter, but I'm saying whoever that person was, by hitting 15 doubles in like 189 at bats. was a rare feat.
So yes, was
good spot on that one.
Hall of Fame quality. You are correct, sir.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for listening. We need questions. We haven't gotten any for a couple of weeks, so send them to @JBWPodcast on Twitter with the hashtag High Heat. Send questions by email to yakyujlhn@gmail.com or leave us a note with some comments on the Facebook page. We will talk to you next week. Enjoy your baseball.
See you at the ballparks.